Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Save big money when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior wood stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture. It repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Save big.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game, 106.3. And, of course, The Game Nashville app. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you from Centennial Sportsplex. The Nashville Predators continue their training camp. You've got a group that just finished their practice on the rink that we are positioned in right near the locker room. Another group getting ready to start off. In the rink next door. So we will have some coverage of that. We'll have some interviews a little bit later. Plus, we've got our normal Wednesday routine, a lot of football talk coming up today as we get you ready for the Titans and the Colts, an enormous game in the AFC South coming up on Sunday. The suit is on his way, some suit duties, some curveballs thrown at him this morning, so he'll be with us here in just a few minutes. But D-Mace, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. It's nice to be in a rink. You know,
it's a little cooler at the rink today than it was last week on Friday.
Exactly.
They turned up the AC.
That ice was melting a little bit too much the last go around. But yeah, it's a good day, man. The weather has dropped a little, which I hate, but it's still comfortable outside. You know, I wanted to stay in the bed this morning, Willie. I did.
Why? Like, what happened?
Because it was, you know, in the morning now, it's like 50 degrees, you know.
It is. It gets into the 40s.
Yes. Now. And I'm like, man, it's a little chilly. So I skipped my workout this morning just to, you know, stay in bed a little longer. And okay. I feel great. I got some good sleep. So I'm ready to roll, man.
All right. Are you going to crank it back up for the workout after the show? That can be hard sometimes. Once you're done with the show, you want to shut down.
Yeah, I'm not a big advocate of working out after 12.
Yeah, you like to get it done in the morning.
I like to get it done in the morning.
I got to get back in that routine. In the summer, I got into the other way.
Uh-huh.
But I got to get back into the AM routine. Get it done. Get it done early. I know that Chase is dying to say this, so I'm just going to get it out there right now. The Mets lost and the Braves won last night. So it's all tied up in the race.
So what are you going to do, Willie?
Very stressful.
This weekend is a big weekend.
It's a huge weekend. And you know what's interesting is the hurricane, unfortunately, could cause a lot of rain issues in Atlanta.
Right.
So the schedule is going to be very dicey. Mm-hmm. For a lot of stuff this weekend, including a very, very big series between the Mets and the Braves.
They might have to postpone the game.
Yeah, they might have to push it back to Monday or something, or even the day before the wild card is supposed to begin. So that could be a mess. But, hey, the weather is the weather. We know all kinds of things. You know, for the Predators, they moved a game that was going to be in Tampa up here. So there are back-to-back games against the Lightning.
Okay.
You know, two great games in our building against a fantastic team over the last several years. Two-time champions, last year's runner-up, almost had a three-peat, so that'll be fun. We'll be at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday and Friday. So, Derek, I was listening this morning to a Colts podcast. I wanted to get a little scouting report on the Colts as the Titans get ready for them. Here's a couple things to bounce off you that I think will be themes. As you know, we really turn our attention on a Wednesday. You start getting injury reports. You start hearing press conferences where you start talking about the opposition. Here's the matchup I think that everybody needs to really circle.
Uh-huh.
The Colts have struggled in a lot of areas, but one thing they've done really well so far, they have stopped the run.
Okay.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 0 yards rushing. Not that the Chiefs really rely on the run game, but there's been three games, and the Colts so far have been, in Football Outsiders, number two in the league against the run. 41% better than the league average, efficiency-wise. And if you just go straight up yards per game, they've done a fantastic job. So you've got that Colts front against a very questionable Titans offense. And as we said yesterday, Titans offensive numbers, passing yards are not that bad. Passing efficiency has been okay. The rushing game has not been there yet. There's been some flickers, some signs of life. But I think we all know that, you know, for the Titans to be effective enough to beat the Colts, you got to have some punch from the running game. But that looks on paper like a very tough matchup right now.
Yeah, anytime, you know, you go against one of the top-ranked defenses in the National Football League, it's going to be a tough task, especially for a team like the Titans. They love to run the football. That's how they generate their offense. That's how their offense get into a rhythm, is when they're running the ball well. When the Titans aren't running the ball well, they can't seem to get their offense to flowing. So, you know, that's going to be a key matchup. You know, the Titans' offensive line and their running game against that defensive line and that run front of the Indianapolis Colts. So, you know, it's going to – they're going to have to get it started. Or what they're going to have to do is sort of what they did, you know, in the last two games. Sort of open up the passing – open up the run game with the passing, play action. You know, hit those guys down the middle of the field, those short to intermediate in routes, those out routes, to kind of loosen that defense up, loosen those linebackers up. Because if they don't, they're going to allow that, you know, those linebackers to sit on the line of scrimmage and, you know, affect what the Titans like to do in regards to the running game. So it's going to be critical for the Titans to not only – they got to run the football. They understand that. But I think it's critical for them to get the passing game going. Even though they're an efficient passing team, they are horrible in pass yardage. You know, they are almost dead. You know, they rank in the bottom half of the NFL in total offense, let alone passing offense. So they're going to have to do some rushing offense. They rank, you know, darn near at the bottom of the NFL. So what they have to do is, especially against a team that loves to, you know, that has a really good front and is able to stop the run, you're going to have to do some things in the passing game early and often to sort of back those guys up.
You know, I look back, too, at the two games last year. Why did the Titans beat the Colts twice? I mean, that's the division – really came down to the two head-to-head games, you could argue. And the Titans the last few years have been able to beat the Colts. That's what's turned their fortunes around. For years and years, we know the kind of stranglehold the Colts had over the Titans. But it really wasn't because of the running game. If you take a look, Derrick Henry in the first game, which was early in the season last year in Nashville, 28 carries for 113 yards. So I think if you're the Colts, you probably
live with 113 yards,
because that's not super efficient. You know, that's about 4 yards a carry. That's not super good. I'd have to do the math. My math is not that great in my head. Mine not even be four. It's a little short of four. You take that every time.
Yeah.
And in the second game, they did an even better job, and that was the game where the foot went out. And I don't know when in the game he got the injury. Remember, there were some shots of him on the sideline, and it looked like
he
was bothering
him.
It had
to be early in the game.
That's when it looked like it started bothering him. So he, you know, either way, they shut him down. 28 carries for 68 yards. The Titans still won the game. So my point is, the Colts have done a good job on Derrick Henry, but the Titans were able to, thanks to some really good work by Ryan Tannehill and the rest of the offense, picked up the slack, and they had solid offensive games. So it's interesting, the perspective of the Colts up there is they certainly fear Derrick Henry, but they're very aware that his numbers have slid downward a little bit, but they feel good about how they've done against him. It's really, can they still get the same punch from the passing? This will be another good test for how far Treylon Burks has come on, and can they continue to get chemistry and get efficiency in the passing game? Because I think on paper, the Colts have a pretty good shot of at least slowing down Derrick Henry again. I don't know that he's going to have the huge breakout game in this one.
I know the Titans want him to have one.
Sure.
But I know Indianapolis feels that, hey, listen, if we could hold Derek to whether it be 68 yards or 105 yards, then we've done our job. As long as he doesn't get those big explosive plays, once he at what point in the game, if he does get an explosive play, when is it? Is it late in the fourth quarter when the game's tight and he gets one of those, 30 or 40-yard runs? Well, that's not good for Indianapolis. But if he gets a 30 or 40-yard run in the beginning of the game in the first quarter where, it's 0-0 or it's 7-3, that doesn't mean as much. That doesn't affect the game as much if he totals out, and it's 105 or 113 yards at the end of the night. They can live with that. They can't live with, Derrick Henry's second half, he ends up, 75 yards in the second half, and the bulk of it comes in the fourth quarter in a tight game. You can't beat the Titans like that. Yeah, That's how they want to play it.
The second halves have been very interesting for both teams.
Yes.
The Titans have struggled in the second half. They've been outscored 57-7. Now, of course, the Buffalo game is a big part of it, but all three games outscored in the second half. And the Colts...
They've only scored one touchdown.
The Colts have been better in the second half. They pulled it out. They got a lot of help from the Chiefs in that game, as Tim Hasselbeck pointed out on our show yesterday. All right, they've cranked up the Zamboni. Seems like they need a little work on the engine of the Zamboni.
Yeah,
it's a little running a little loud. Maybe a better muffler.
Is that like an electric Zamboni?
I don't know what's it. Well, it sounds like they got an old-fashioned diesel engine or something in that thing. Holy cow. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get Chase involved in the conversation. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk to Adam Amin a little bit later. We're going to let's see what else we got today. We have Rick Sweet, the manager of the Sounds, coming up at the bottom of the hour. The Sounds are going for a championship out in Vegas. They're in the Final Four. Interesting playoff format. And so we'll check in with the skipper of the Sounds, and we've got a whole lot more for you scheduled today. Stay tuned. A lot more coming. This is Chase Willie and D-Mace on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Chase Willie and D-Mace from Centennial Sportsplex. We're trying to avoid the 10th Avenue freeze out here. Check back with us at 1 o'clock. It is a little chilly in here, but look, we're excited to be at the Predators training camp. And we'll have some hockey interviews for you a little bit later in the show when the team gets done with their practice. Chase McCabe is on the way. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. We're always interested to check in on the text line at 615-737-1025, brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One guy, look, he's an East Sider, Derek, so he knows I'm an East Sider. He says, sorry, Chase. Willie Chase and D-Mace rolls off the tongue better. He's suggesting a different name of the show. Okay, I get you, Jonathan. I see a little East Side pride coming at you. But look, Chase is he's the guy. He's the suit, man. He's got the lead off. He's got the right to name the show. He's the suit. He's the highest up.
Hey, listen, it doesn't matter where your name is positioned. It's that your name is position.
Yeah, we're a team. Okay. We're a team, right?
It's that your name's on there. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep the seat warm in here, which is hard in the rink here.
Exactly.
The hockey rink. Here's another text from Wes in Clarksville. Second half Titans need to do scripted plays like the first half. Now, that's a question I hear a lot because the Titans have scored touchdowns on all of their opening drives. And, you go in with a game plan. But I want to ask you, how scripted does scripted mean, right? Like, what does it mean to script, and how far into the game do you script? What's your interpretation?
Well, typically, from my experience with several teams, the first 15 plays are scripted. Now, you may get off of that script, or you may not have to use all 15 plays during that script. But the first 15 plays are scripted. And, a third and one may take you out of that third or fourth play, that third play that you called. So it may put you in a run play as opposed to you may have a pass play written down as your third play. But it all depends on down and distance and what you do on the first two plays. So at half, when they come out, they usually likes to – the coaches usually know what they want to run the first couple of plays. It's not like they have the whole game scripted. Like, I got 1 through 45 plays that I'm going to call, you know, in chronological order. It's not like that. Because down the distance, time of the game, what's going on, what's the score, all that dictates, you know, what you call and how you call it. So, but every team that I've been around, that first 15 plays is a scripted sort of deal. So everybody understands what's going on. So you should never, if everything is going the way you want it to go, you should never come in a huddle not knowing the play. Meaning, once the quarterback calls it, it shouldn't be a surprise to you, because everybody has the first 15 plays of the game.
Okay, so when you hear the criticism, Titans have scored on every first drive, and then it drops off. What can they learn from that? Like, what can Todd Downing learn from that? Or if anything, this is just an easy fan thing that is getting a lot of play right now. Is there anything to that?
It's just you gotta go out and execute. That's basically what it boils down to. You got to stay ahead of the change, because if you don't stay ahead of the change, then it changes what you want to do and how effective you are as an offense. So if you stay in front of the change, you stay ahead of the game, then you're, you know, calling plays is a little bit easier, you know. But once you get behind the chains, now it's difficult. It's not difficult for me to call plays, but now I get to get outside of the plays that I scripted, you know, first 15 plays that I scripted.
So, I feel like it's a little bit old. It's too simple to say.
Yeah.
Just keep scripting. Like,
you can't
the second half. Because, like, if you get a holding penalty on the first play of the game, well, then you can't do the script, right? You're not looking into a crystal ball saying, okay, well, it's going to be second and five,
so
and then it's
going to
be third
play,
and one. Like, it doesn't always go the way the script goes.
You see, when you're looking from television and you see these huge play sheets and you see all these colors on there, because everybody see the colors, that's down and distance, you know, second down, third down, you know, play action. That's why they're color-coded, because it's easier for me. I don't have to search through my, you know, book of plays or sheets of plays to try to find a play for 3rd and 13. Well, they got a color coordinated. So when it's 3rd and 13, I can look right at, say, green, and there's about 15 plays that I can call from that green section that would be good for 3rd and 15. You know, really, there's not a good play for 3rd and 15.
Right.
You know, you need to stay out of 3rd and 15. But if indeed you do get in 3rd and 15, there's that 15 plays color-coded that you can call.
Another big thing that happened in the game between the Colts and the Chiefs. I went back today and I was like, okay, how did the Colts beat the Chiefs? Do you realize how many? And Tim pointed a couple of them out. I didn't
turnovers,
realize how many. But special teams in particular.
Fumble, a muff punt.
They had a muff punt.
Mm-hmm.
They missed a 34-yard field goal. They tried a fake field goal on 4th and 11 where the punter threw the pass. And you know when you do that. If it works, everybody's like, oh, what an amazing.
Great.
Look at that punter, man. He's got a great arm. Look at that beautiful. He threw a lame. He double clutched and he threw a wet whistle over there. It was a limp noodle. It didn't have anything on it, and it looked awful. And Andy Reid just after the game said, "Look, I shouldn't have called it." They also missed an extra point. Remember, Harrison Butker is injured, so they're using the backup kicker.
Uh-huh.
He missed an extra point, so that probably in the back of Andy Reid's mind affected how much we
kick field goals.
How much confidence they had in him. So they messed up a lot of stuff, and if they even make the last kick, the 34-yarder, they're up 20-13, and it's going to be a lot harder for the Colts to go down and drive. As it was, they were up 17-13, and the Colts had, I think, a 16-play drive to get the game-winning field goal, and that was aided by an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, 15 yards, by the Chiefs, where the guy apparently just said something to the official. Mm-hmm. It didn't look really – it wasn't like he threw his helmet or, you know, slammed
he
something.
Said a curse
down.
Word.
He said one of the magic words somewhere. So the Colts got a lot of help from the Chiefs. The Chiefs probably walked out of there saying, how did we lose that game? But the Colts got life. The Colts get life out of that.
That Colts, you know, you take a win however you're going to get it. That's why, you know, in discussing, you know, the game Monday with Caroline, it was, you know, we're going to talk about all the good things, but we mentioned a lot of, you know, the bad things that the Titans did and the things that they need to get better. But ultimately, you know, they got to win. So you move on. You know, 2 weeks from now, we're not going to say, or 3 or 4 weeks from now, if the Titans have a winning record, we're not going to say, well, remember that game, you know, in Oakland, they almost lost and they should have lost. Yeah. No, you forget about it. It's like it's gone. That's the same with Indianapolis. They're going to say, listen, 4 or 5 weeks from now, if they have a winning record and lead in the South, they're not going to look back and say, well, the Kansas City game, we should have lost that game because of, you know, whatever, but we won. You know, they're not going to look at that. A win is a win and you press on. But again, you go back to what does this game mean for both the Indianapolis Colts, but more importantly, the Tennessee Titans moving forward in this division. And yesterday we talked about, well, at least I mentioned, I thought it was almost one of those must wins. It's going to be critical because, you know, they play Indianapolis between game one and game two. There's not many weeks in between that. And then you already got Jacksonville. That's a game above you in the division. So if you end up losing to Indianapolis, now that puts you two games back. And now you're in an uphill battle with Indianapolis coming up in a few weeks, you know, a few weeks later. Then it becomes a must win at home. So, you know, Vrabel said it. We got to steal wins on the road. And what he was talking about is stealing this game in Indianapolis and putting yourself in a position where you are still in a place to take hold of the AFC South.
No question about it. It is an enormous game. An enormous game. You think about the big wins that the Titans have been able to get in Indianapolis, where I think you could say in a couple of them, they did steal the game. But so many games in the NFL are like
stolen.
That.
Yeah.
And last year, the Titans, we've talked about it, the last 2 years, they were 13-4 in the one-score games, which is very, very high. It's tough to do that. This year, they've had two games like that. They've won one and lost one. Uh-huh. Last year, the Colts were very poor in those games. Mm-hmm. The Raiders last year, they went 4-0 in overtime alone. So that was the difference in them making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So game swing, especially in a 17-game season, how you do in those close games. And you got to hope, if you're the Titans, this is going to be another one of those games and you find a way to make one more good play. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Rick Sweet, the Sounds skipper. The Sounds are 91-57. If you've been to some Sounds games, you're like, hey, I had a great time. I had no idea the team was that good. Well, that's how good they are. They're going for a championship in AAA. So that's coming back. They've got a noon game at First Horizon Park today. So we're going to talk to Rick Sweet when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening. We're over here at Centennial Sportsplex for Predators training camp on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Back here, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. The suit, Chase McCabe, has finally arrived. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We say hello. Thank you very much. Hey, shout out to my man Ladarius, because I was the one that left something, and he goes and he fixes it.
We always can count on Ladarius. I'm telling you, man. He's the most reliable guy that you can get.
He is a five-tool player.
When 10 o'clock hits and the show, it's time to start. Darius is always calm, cool, and collected. Never scramble. I've never seen the guy sweat.
I know.
And we were at Titans training camp for 3 weeks.
He is a
five. Still didn't see him sweat.
He's a five-tool player, which is a perfect segue to our next guest. Rick Sweet, the manager of the Nashville Sounds, the division-winning Nashville Sounds, on the line with us. Rick, how are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. Congratulations. A fantastic season by the Sounds. You got a game coming up here in about an hour and a half, so we appreciate you taking the time to come on with us as you'll wrap up the regular season. But you win the division and knew this year that I guess was kind of born out of COVID, but I like it. I don't know how you feel about it, but basically you go and you play this weekend. You play Saturday. You win that one. You play for the whole thing on Sunday, and then call it a season. What do you think about this AAA championship format?
Well, I think coming out of COVID, it gets us back into that routine of having some type of playoff system. And, I hope next year we go back to a more old school where we play three or five games. But for now, we've played 150 games already. We're already a month over what we usually play in the minor leagues. So we've had a full season plus an extra month thrown in there, and that is based on COVID. So for me, it's going to be, I'm looking forward to it. It's we've done the hard part, the marathon of 150 game season. Now to have two quick games for the championship, I'm looking forward to it.
One thing that Major League Baseball has done with the minors and with AAA specifically is they've tested a lot of different rules. And I know that you've been a part of that, whether it's a replay system or balls and strikes system. What's kind of been your takeaway as a guy that's been in the game for a long time of some of these rules that baseball has experimented with?
Well, pretty much all when they experiment with rules, it's through AAA. They want to get it as close to the big leagues as possible. And, some of them I like. The extra inning rule, that was a great rule, especially for the minor leagues, but the year they used it in the big leagues, they liked it also. It really, for the minor leagues, it really creates problems for us when we play 13, 14, 15 innings. So I liked that rule. I was not a fan initially of the robo umpire where the umpires weren't involved, but they've gone to a challenge system, which I think is fantastic. I think next year in AAA, I'm hoping and I'm pushing that we're going to use it. Basically, what that is the umpire calls the game. I like having umpires call the game, but you can challenge the call. And we only had one place where we did that this year, and that was in Charlotte. And we only got to use it one six-game series. But in that six games, it convinced me that I think it's the future, even for the major leagues, where it gives you that ability, like when they went to, after a play is called, you could challenge it. And they went to the cameras and, checked it all out, and they got to play right. Well, they find out the umpire is right a high percentage of the time. With the challenge system on balls and strikes, it's the same way. The umpire calls a strike. The hitter doesn't like it. The hitter instantly has to say, I want to challenge that. The umpire steps back, points up to the score, up to the press box, and they go to the camera in the outfield into the scoreboard. And here comes the ball into, how you watch on TV, you can see they've got the rectangle for the strike zone.
Mm-hmm. Like a tennis match, they have that, right, Rick?
It's the same thing. It is. It's just like tennis. Here comes the ball, and you see if the umpire is right or wrong. It's funny. Every fan and both teams, their heads instantly turn to the scoreboard to see the replay. and it happens quick. It does not delay the game. It happens within 10-15 seconds total that they can get this ball or strike. You get three challenges. If your challenge is correct, if you win the challenge, you get it back, so you can keep all three. If you miss it, obviously you lose it, and if you lose all three, then you don't have any more challenges. So it's very unique, and it's exciting. It adds more to the game, I think. So I really like that rule. The bigger bases, I'll give and take on that one. I like it because guys don't get stepped on, but you go from a small pizza box to an extra large pizza box. Basically, is what it looks like.
Hey, I like the extra large pizza box.
I'm a pizza guy, so that's why it reminds me of that pizza box.
We're talking to Nashville Sounds manager Rick Sweets. Now, Coach, what is the difference between last year and this year? Because you guys right now are plus, I think, 21, 22 games. So what
division
is the difference?
Champs,
So what was the difference from this year, last year to this year's team?
Well, I think last year we had a very good year, but we kind of last year we got to the end of the year and we lost a lot of players to the big leagues. You know, there's always injuries. We lose players through where we trade them, we move them on, and we didn't have the players at Double A to refresh the club, to bring that new blood into the club. This year, once we got through, we initially were an older team early in the year, and we got about halfway through the year, we lost two or three of our main guys because we traded them. They had an out where they could leave and try to get a big league job with somebody else. And we had guys in Double A. In fact, I got a phone call one day, and they said, "Hey, sweetie, we're going to do a line change." I said, "What? Line change? Hockey? You know, hold." And they said, "Yeah, we got five young guys coming to you." I said, "Holy cow, you're kidding." And what it was is it was our young phenoms from Double A. And they sent them all at once. And it was like, okay, line change here. We went from an older club to a much, much younger club. Fresh blood, man, and we took off. These guys, they came up. They had energy. They were excited to be here. Now, they made some mistakes. There's some setbacks with it. But we had the patience. I've got a great coaching staff here. And we had the patience to let these guys get used to this level, play at this level, and we took off. And, you know, we finished very, very strong down the stretch here, and it's been with a line change.
We're talking to Rick Sweet, skipper for the Nashville Sounds. And, Rick, I am of the age where I believe in my basement all of the Rick Sweet baseball cards. And listen, I'm not talking about ordering them in the box. I'm talking about getting them out of the packs with the gum in there and trading and everything like that. So just know that you're talking to a pure baseball fan here.
Well, you got to be old if you. That's
right. That is the downside of me sharing that. It is sharing my age. I am getting up there in age for sure.
Well, I apologize for bringing it up, but I'm sure you're not older than me. So,
well, Rick, let me ask you this because it's such an interesting. You know that baseball, we love the postseason series, the best out of seven, who's going game one, who's going game two. But you've got a four-game single elimination. And as you mentioned, you get a lot of different guys over the course of the year. You've had some excellent pitching throughout the season, guys coming and going. But how do you decide who's pitching in the big two games here?
Well, it actually was very easy for me. We sat down as a staff and we talked about it, but Bosley's been our best pitcher all year. He leads the league. He's got 12 wins. He leads the league in wins. And that alone tells you, okay, he's in the top five in ERA. He's the guy. He's been consistent all year. And I expect him to have a great game. And then, our guy down the stretch here, Josh Lindblom, is going to pitch game two. And he has been probably the last seven starts has been the best starter we've had. He has gone 5 to 7 innings every outing. He's won almost every one of those outings or got a no decision. But those two guys are going to they've been our main pitchers. They've been here all year. Bosley missed some time with an injury, so he missed some time in there. But Lindblom hasn't missed a start all year. He's been consistent. He's a veteran. You know, he's pitched in Korea. He's pitched in the big leagues. And he's a team leader on this club. I mean, he is the veteran guy, and I'm sure he'll step up. And I'm looking forward to seeing him pitch in that game.
It's going to be exciting. Rick, before we let you go, I just want to give you the shout-out because talking about your baseball cards, it is interesting how the mustache has come back around in style, right? You had a great one going. I think you could compete with Philip Forsberg for the Preds, who gets all the – attention for having the mustache, but I think you're right there neck and neck with him from back in the day.
Well, I'm working on it. You know, it's funny when I do shave my mustache. I had a roommate one time with the Mariners. His name was Jim Beatty. He was a general manager in the big leagues. Zelma was my roommate, and we were two opposites. He's a Dartmouth graduate, so he had the sweater tied around his neck. and I had a big black cowboy hat, big mustache, and an afro, and you know, I'm 6 foot, he's 6'6". We'd be walking around town, people look at us like, look at that. I mean, there's two opposite guys right there. And what I did is I was in a slump, and I went home and shaved my mustache. I came to the ballpark the next day. He literally walked right by me, didn't recognize me, didn't say hi, didn't say anything, walked by me. And I turned around, I said, Zelmo. And he looked at me, and he goes, sweetie, you shaved. He walked right by me, didn't recognize me. My daughter, that same year that when I cut my mustache, my daughter must have been like 4 or 5 years old. She cried. She didn't let me hold her. I mean, she didn't know who the heck I was. So I got to keep my mustache just so I keep my identity.
Well, Rick, I'll say this. You know, I said yesterday to Chad Seeley, I feel like as the program director of the flagship station of the Sounds, I should accompany you to Las Vegas to make sure the broadcast goes right. That didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Jumping on the bandwagon, floater.
It didn't go anywhere, but best of luck out.
Nice try. You know, we feel like we're going to our home stadium because we're from Nash Vegas and we're just going to Las Vegas. That's like a home field advantage for us.
There you go. Exactly. But anyway, best of luck in Vegas. Best of luck today, closing out the regular season against the Memphis Redbirds. We will be watching, and you can listen on 94.9 The Fan starting at 11:50 with the great Jeff Hem. But thanks so much for joining us today, and best of luck.
Gentlemen, I had fun. Thanks a lot, and I'll be back. We'll see you.
Yeah, we'll do it again soon for sure. Rick Sweet, the manager of the Nashville Sounds. They've won their division. They will close out the regular season today again. First pitch at 12:05, pregame at 11:50 against the Memphis Redbirds on 94.9 The Fan. Of course, Sounds Baseball on The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Fun guy, loves talking baseball, and appreciate him joining us today. I'm here. I'm in the fold. Coach Pex is on the ice. We are here for Predators training camp. Come back with more here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're live at Centennial Sportsplex for Predators training camp. Hope to have a guest join us here in a little bit. Believe it might be the captain.
So, that'd be nice.
Working on that is when they get off the ice. Coach Pex is out there, so good to see Pekka on.
I'm glad, Pekka. I did not request the captain, but I've got a couple of logistic questions. Packing tips. I was looking at the weather.
Yeah,
today,
no, that'd be good.
Yeah,
that could be helpful for you.
Yeah, maybe some language tips. Do I need to brush up on my Swiss German?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care if you take enough clothes or not because I'm jealous that you're going. But
you're on your own, man. I'm not.
Whatever.
That's why I'm going to lean on Roman. I'm not leaning on you.
Just like Rick Sweet basically just said, nice try. You're not going.
Yeah. Good try.
<but. laughs> okay, I tried.
How about Rick Sweet? Wasn't he fun?
Oh, he's awesome.
He's great.
He's awesome. Very, very cool to have him on. And, he was the manager the last year at Greer Stadium for the Sounds, and then they switched affiliations for a while. Now they're back with the Brewers, and he's been the skipper with them the last couple of years. So had a couple of stints with the Nashville Sounds. But I was listening on the way here. You guys were having a really good conversation about scripted plays, and I think that was based off a text that you got. Because you and I have talked about this before, Derek, of why the Titans have been so successful on the opening drives and using those. And they referenced it on the broadcast. I think they called it the first eight. And then they adjusted after that because they ran 16 plays or something.
Well, usually it's the first 15. They have a first 15. And it, it depended on, down distance.
Yeah.
They usually try to stay on cue and stay on point with the first 15. It may not take 15 plays. Or you might go three and out,
right?
But they're there.
Right. But I guess at what point, and this is where, I've looked at Todd Downing of, okay, the defense is going to adjust to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to adjust to the defense.
Yeah.
When does that process start? And, I think some coordinators and coaches are better than others at adjusting to those adjustments. I mean, that's literally what you're doing. You are adjusting to the adjustments.
Yeah, you have to, because after you've ran through, say you've ran through your first 12 or so plays, you're possibly, you know, in the second quarter. Now you have to start making adjustments because the defense, especially after that first drive, and if you're successful as the Titans have been in their first drives, then defenses tend to make adjustments after that. And it's up to the offensive coordinator to then either make more adjustments or stick with the game plan, meaning, okay, we ran eight plays or we ran, you know, seven plays and we got eight left, or we ran eight and we got seven more plays left in the first 15. So now it's up to the offensive coordinator, depending on what adjustments the defense made and how the game is going now after the first series. So you usually see offensive coordinators make adjustments. And Downing has been great in the first half.
Yeah.
It's just, as we all know, it's the second half where they've been outscored 50-something to 7. And they've had opportunities to make big plays or score, and they just hadn't done it.
So, and you may have read this text, Wes in Clarksville, if the first half works so well, why did they change the second half? Jared broke it down yesterday, Coach Jared, got his Twitter back, that they changed personnel groups to almost all run after half instead of mixing it up. And, I mean, I have noticed that you see a little more Cody Hollister, you see some different people in the second half, and I understand – you know, substitutions and working those guys in. But I think you've made this point of why aren't you seeing more Woods and Treylon Burks and the guys, Austin Hooper, the guys that you're paying the money to that you need to make plays?
I think in that Oakland game, I don't think you saw much of Cody Hollister. I know I saw him on a few plays in the second half. Specifically, I saw him, it was like two plays. So he wasn't in the game as much, and I'm pretty sure they try to get him around, you know, 3 to 5 plays per game, you know, and for the most part, you know, he has made two big catches in that span. Even though I would like to see a Robert Woods in that place, or a Treylon Burks, or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, or even Austin Hooper flexing him out, doing something to get him involved in the game, but I mean, They are not as predictable, I don't think. It's just with them, it's executing.
Yeah.
I don't think they have enough weapons on offense to do some of the things that the fans want them to do. You know, at the receiver position, they have one or two playmakers that they can rely on. You know, in the run game, yes, you have Derrick Henry, but if the offensive line is not blocking well, then he's not a playmaker on that drive or that game. He's not affecting the game the way you want him to. So, you know, they just got to find a way at executing these plays because, again, they're not inventing new plays. I can show you a clip of the Kansas City Chiefs. I can show you a clip of Buffalo. Name all any one of these high-powered offenses. I can show you a clip of their first half and their second half. They're not calling anything no different. They're just executing their plays, you know, and they're up tempo, and they're doing it in such a fashion. They may disguise it a little bit, but it's still the same exact play. They may add a motion to it, or put a different guy in there, but it's still the same, you know, personnel. And it's still the same play. They just execute. The problem with the Titans have, they're not executing.
Well, here's another example. What did everybody go nuts on after week one? The end-around play to Chaka Conquo, right? Uh-huh. What's the deal with the play call? Why didn't you just give it to Derrick Henry? And you said a lot of the same things. You got to execute the play. Mm-hmm. The blocking wasn't right. You know, maybe it wasn't the best call. And, of course, Todd Downing ended up eating it by saying, I shouldn't have called that. But for all the people that were saying, just hand it to Derrick Henry on third and one. What happened on third and one on Sunday?
They handed it to Derrick Henry.
He lost about 5 yards. Stuck. There was four guys on him. It's not that simple when you say, well, just give it to Derrick Henry. Yeah. You just need 1 yard. Execution is everything in that, right? Well, no matter what the play call is,
you got to execute it.
And that execution was likely the offensive line.
Yeah, but, you can't always just say it's Monday morning quarterback when you go back and say that was a bad play call. right? It's never as simple as saying third and one, you should give it to Derrick Henry. You'll get a yard. Well, everybody says that after a third and one doesn't work.
Exactly.
If you don't do it. But they don't talk about – see, nobody's called our show this week to say, hey, third and one, why didn't they run a reverse? Why didn't they fake it to Derrick Henry? Everybody knows exactly. Derrick Henry's getting it on third and one. Where are those people?
Well, I would have play action. I would have done play action.
Oh, yeah, I would have done play action too, sure. Everything's great on Monday. Everything's great on you know, after the game.
No, I'm surprised about that, Willie. You brought that up. Yeah, we could discuss that on the other side. Yeah.
All right. Offensive coordinator Chase is going to draw up a play for Derek coming up next.
Okay.
I am. I'm going to do it. Okay. I'm going to draw up a play.
You're going to get the third and one.
I'm going to draw up a play, and I'm going to see what he thinks. We'll do that next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063 the game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.